Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verse 1. And he, speaking of Jesus, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for all of the blessings as we look back on the previous year. And then, Lord, we can't help but feel a certain level of excitement. Lord, for whatever reason, you've tarried your coming. And we are given at least this beginning point in 2012. And Lord, if you tarry through another year, I pray, Lord, that we would look ahead and we would seek your Spirit's guidance as we go into a new year. And we would want to be our best and live our best and do our best for you. And so, Lord, as we come to this beginning point in the year, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to just maybe in some areas of our life make a rededication, some commitments, some things that we're going to follow and do in this new year. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. In the last several days, as we interacted and traveled and met people, we heard the phrase often as we would leave an establishment or talk to a cashier or just pass a stranger in the parking lot. We'd hear somebody say, Happy New Year. It is time for a new year. A new year brings kind of new opportunities. I was telling our Sunday school class, if you haven't yanked down the 2011 calendar, do it when you get home because it's over. It's done. There ain't nothing you can do about it. It's done. Put the new one up. Let's plan for a new year. I think a new year is an exciting time. I think it ought to be a time where we look back and we reevaluate and we take stock and we are sensitive to the Holy Spirit concerning what happened in the previous year. We review things a bit. But then I would encourage you after some time of doing that to follow the admonishment of Paul, who said, forgetting those things which are behind, pressing forward to those things that are before. Because, folks, there's no use wasting a month worrying about last year. We have a new year, a new opportunity. People make New Year's resolutions. Anybody still do that? Stop. Okay, I'm going to save you some time and heartache. If you haven't given up on that idea, now it's time. Just quit, okay? New Year's resolutions. But we do. We make some new plans, and we go through all of the different areas of our life, and we kind of look and say, you know, what can I accomplish in this year that maybe was unaccomplished in the year before? And I think that's an exciting time. And there's just something about the New Year. I get more excited about New Year's than I do Christmas, I think, for the idea of a new opportunity. We sometimes redo our schedule as we enter into a new year, and I think that's important. I remember that the Bible talks about the importance of redeeming the time. And if we're not careful, we become very lackadaisical in our management of time. We don't plan things properly. We don't schedule properly, and we waste a lot of time. And so I think it's very good time of year to look at your schedule. I've been talking to my wife and even some of the staff members about tweaking my schedule to see that I'm able to accomplish some things that have been setting back on the back burner. And so I'm going to do the best I can to manage better my time and maybe change up my schedule a little bit. New Year, we do this. At least we've done it every year since I've pastored, and I'm not tied to the idea. If for some reason the Lord didn't impress a particular theme on for a year, I wouldn't force one. But I felt like that the theme that God gave us, and I'll talk more about it tonight. We got a new theme for the church this year, and tonight I'll be presenting you some of the new goals and some of the. By the way, we're gonna probably more radically change the calendar of our church and some of the things that we're doing this year than we have in the last 6 years. And I think you'll be interested in some of the things we're going to try to accomplish and do in the new year. But it's an exciting time. Happy New Year! You know, new resolutions, new plans, new schedules, new themes, new goals. But as I was reading my Bible this week, the Lord allowed this word to jump out at me in Luke chapter 18, verse 1. And it got me curious, and I began to do a word study on the word always. Always. You know what, folks? Yes, a new year brings with it new opportunities, new goals, and there's nothing wrong with some new things. But you know what? The name of the message this morning is Happy Always Year. Because some things shouldn't be new. Some things should just be consistent. There's some things that we ought to do in 2010 and 2011, 2012 and 2013, 2014. So I found this little word always, and I got my computer program out and began to just do a word study. I encourage you to do word studies. I think the Bible explains itself. I think if you study the methods of studying the Bible, God gives us some information about some subjects in this book and some information about the same subject in another book. You know, it's set up where we are required to search the Scriptures if we're going to get the full breadth of God's speaking on any one subject. I'm all for interpreting it in the light of the context of it, but sometimes people get so tied to context they forget that the same person that authored Genesis authored the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit's the same author. I say this, if you poke Genesis with a pen, Revelation is going to roar. It's a living book. It's a live book. And so there's nothing wrong with going to the different parts of the Bible and seeing what it speaks to concerning any one subject. I like word studies. I like the word always in the Bible. And so I started going down through it, and I, good night, came up with a lot of things, but I'm going to share just a few of you. Happy always years. You see, folks, there's some things that we ought to always do. It oughtn't to change. They oughtn't to have to be new. And if they are not a part of our lives, let's make them a part, but let's make them a part not for 2012, but for the rest of our life. Luke chapter 18, verse 1 gives us the first one. We should always pray to God. Always pray to God. Spend every day of 2012 praying. Here's some good admonition for you. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. In Luke chapter 21, if you want to flip over just a couple pages, Luke chapter 21, if you'll look and locate verse number 33. Again, let's look for that word as I read down. Luke 21 verse 33, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with suffeting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray what? Always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Paul had this as a part of the disciplines of his life. He opened many a book, many an epistle with words like we find in Romans 1:9, for God is my witness whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Colossians, that epistle, that letter to the church there in Colossae, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Philippians, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. And then the admonition at the end of the listing in Ephesians, when we are given the listing of the armor of God, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying how? Always, with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, let's work. Let's take our prayer life that we had in 2011 and let's tweak it and let's upgrade it and let's continue it and let's pray always. If you would do this, preacher, one favor. Preacher, if you could just ask me to do one thing. I'm a one thing kind of guy. Don't overwhelm me with information. Just give me one thing that I could do for Blessed Hope Baptist Church in 2012. Please, every day, pray for Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Preacher, is there one thing I can do for you? I know you got a lot going and there's things in your life. Pray for your pastor every day in 2012. I'll make you a deal. If you pray for me, I'll pray for you. How about that? You pray for my children, I'll pray for your children. How about that? And so let's pray for each other. Listen, this ought to be an always thing. You know, it's a great time in your life, and some of you are newly saved, and you know what? You need to learn a little bit of the doctrine of prayer, and you need to get some biblical instruction when it comes to praying. But folks, I don't want to make it too complicated. You can pray, "Oh, preacher, I need to take a course before I begin." No, you don't. You just start talking to God like you'd talk to me. And you carry on a conversation with the Lord. And there's all kinds of different teachings in the Bible. Of course, closet prayer and united prayer. And there's all of the different things that we learn by examining the prayer life of Jesus Christ. Conversational prayer and praying with small groups of disciples and praying all night and mountain praying and midnight praying. And you could go on, all the different things that Jesus taught us about praying. Folks, listen to me. The best thing to do is just realize there's not a wrong time to pray. There's not a bad time to pray. There's not any time of the day or night that God said, "Now listen, these are my office hours." I always show up about 5 minutes after a place closes. I'm notorious for that. "These are my office hours. You can contact me from..." No, thank God. Thank God. Just learn to pray. Just begin to pray. It's an exciting thing in your Christian life when prayer becomes more conversational. Look right up here. Let me teach you something. "Well, preacher, I get up in the morning and I have..." It's scheduled out. I do 15 minutes in the Bible and then I do 15 minutes in prayer. And that's my prayer life. Well, I'm glad. And by the way, what a great way to start the day. I think that shows a lot of wisdom. But can I encourage you, when you get done praying for 15 minutes, just kind of don't say amen. Just kind of leave the line open. Just kind of leave the line open. I think it was Lonnie Mattingly that said our prayer life ought to be, morning devotions ought to be where we call God on the phone, but then we just put it on speaker and we put it on our belt and we don't hang up. And we spend the rest of the day. You know, it's exciting when you get that point in your Christian life where your prayer becomes more conversational. And morning devotions is an opening dialogue that continues throughout the day. And you'll interact with people, and then when they walk away, you'll begin to talk to the Lord about that person and ask for blessing and help concerning maybe a problem that they have in their life. And then somebody else comes and you talk with them a bit, and maybe while they're talking you're praying silently, "Lord, I need some wisdom right here. I think this person's lost. Give me the boldness to say something to them when I get an opportunity here." And I mean, just carry on. How should I pray? Pray without ceasing. Pray always. Just make it a way of life. And so, happy always year. How do you have a happy always year? Just pray. Always pray to the Lord. Let me take you over to the Gospel of John. Let's look at another always. John chapter 8 and verse number 28. Jesus makes a statement that I wish I could make. I'm not going to lie to you. I can't make this same statement. But what a goal to set. What a wonderful thing to strive for. In John chapter 8, in verse number 28, we read these words: "Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone." Watch this. "For I do what? Always those things that please Him." Boy, you talk about a great goal. This ought to be a continuing thing, a continuing attitude in our life. Always pray to God. Always try to please God. Always try to please God. Now, we see the opposite attitude. I won't take you over there, but Stephen rebuked those that rejected Christ when he preached before he got stoned in Acts chapter 7, verse 51. He said this: "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost." And so if you're not careful, folks, we can get into an always mode when it comes to God, but it can be one of resistance. Now, watch it. Listen to me. I'm not just talking to unbelievers. I'm talking about Christians can get like that, where it seems like anything that God wants you to do and the prompting of the Spirit and the Word of God exhorts you to do, we just get to this resistance toward it. When the Spirit says do that, we don't want to do it. When the Word of God says don't do that, we want to do it. We begin to resist those things. But what a wonderful thing in your life when you get to the point where you take on that Christ-like mentality, the Christ-like attribute of "I want to always do those things that please God." And so set that as your goal. Do you ever get frustrated? And have you ever got frustrated? 2000, ever got frustrated because it seems like it was impossible to please everybody in your life? Please tell me I'm not alone here. I mean, there's been times when I've literally sat in my office thinking, I'm in a no-win situation. If I do this, this person's going to be happy, but this person's going to be upset. If I do this, this person's going to be happy, and this person's going to be upset. And you know what? It's not that I don't want to make people happy.
And I think it's a fine thing to try to strive as much as possible to bring happiness in everybody's life. But do you get an understanding of there's those times in your life when you just can't make everyone happy? I can't please everyone. I'll tell you right now, Blessed Oak Baptist Church, let me say this, church members, as your preacher, I wish I could. I wish I could. I wish every decision made everybody happy. But it's just not always going to happen that way. Husbands, not every decision you make, I know this is new, you're not going to believe this, not every decision you make is going to make your wife happy. In fact, I'm trying, my goal in 2012 is to do one thing. just break the ice, you know. And, well, no, but I mean, you know what, and wives, you know, I want to please my husband, but you know, you don't bat a thousand. And sometimes it's hard. Well, if I make my, you know, and then all the responsibilities. Preacher, 2012, I don't even want to start the reevaluation process because then I think I'm a lousy this. So I'm going to spend more time with my kids, and then you try to do that. You realize you're spending less time with your husband. I need to be a better wife, so I'll spend more time with my husband. And the next thing you know, you're leaving this. And it's just like, preacher, I can't make everybody happy. I get that. I get it. You know, folks, watch this. The world is driven finally out of frustration. This is the world's mentality to this frustration. They finally come to the conclusion, I can't please everybody, so I'll just please myself. Can I tell you something? That's just as wrong as failing in your attempt to please everybody. That's a selfish motive. You see, that's the world's driven to that conclusion, but a Christian ought to be driven to this conclusion. I can't always please everyone, but I am to always please the Lord. And so sometimes I get caught in this, you know, trying to do and make a decision. And I have to say, wait, what am I doing? God didn't call me to make the world happy. God didn't call me to please everybody. Thank God he didn't. He says this, please me. Please me, son. And Jesus got that. Folks, there were times in his Christian life, there was times in his ministry that Christ was very popular. But you know what? He didn't do what he did to get popular. He did what he did to please God. And if pleasing God made him popular, then good. But there was a times when he did things that made him unpopular. But you know what? It pleased God. Well, you know what? Sorry, world, but I'm going to please God. Now, I'm helping a lot of you new Christians because, you know, right now you gotten saved, or some of you are trying to, you know, maybe you've been saved a little while, but you're really trying to get into church and trying to get some things straightened out, and there's this pressure and this person in your life and this person. Listen, folks, I want to simplify your life in 2012. Yes, love everybody as best you can. Try to be a blessing to everybody, but there's really only one person you're responsible to please, and that is you need to please the Lord. I just took a big burden off some of you. Some of you folks are so, watch this, I mean you're good people, and this is an affliction of good people, but some of you are so worried to run around trying to make everybody in the world happy in life, and you're making a lot of people happy, but a lot of times you're not making the Lord very happy. You know, as a new Christian, you say, preacher, we made a decision to come to church. Watch this, you're going to get tested. And all of a sudden, knock, 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 surprise, family shows up from out of town. Now, wait a minute. We were getting ready to walk out the door and go to church. Come on now, we're getting down to where the rubber meets the road here. And yet these people drove in, preacher. I don't want to disappoint them. I want to please them. I love them. I want to please them. Wait a minute. I'm glad you want to please them. But I would hate to think that you would want to please them more than what you would want to please the Lord. Now, let me just give you a thought here. Watch this. If you please the Lord, I want you to get this statement right here. If you please the Lord, people who love the Lord will be pleased with you. That's what I found out in life. If you please the Lord, people who love the Lord will be pleased with you. And you know what? People that don't, it didn't matter what you're going to do anyway. They're just going to be grouches. They're just not going to be happy. So what do we do? How do we have a happy always year? Always pray to the Lord. Always pray to God. And always please the Lord. Spend every day of 2012 just deciding you're going to please the Lord. Now, some of you got more help than you realize right there. Take that home with you. Put it into practice, all right? Let's go to Philippians chapter 4, verse number 4. This is one of the always that may have popped into your mind right away when I brought up the subject. You can't preach on always and always mentality without coming to Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Philippians chapter 4,
And verse number 4, we read these few words of instruction: rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say what?
Rejoice.
Now let's read that out loud together. Ready? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Now go over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. I want to show you where that is again commanded, again taught, but it gives us a better scope of what that word always could entail. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 21, we see this wonderful verse, my goodness sakes, verse 21 of 2 Corinthians 5, 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Well, we could stop and preach on that. We then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. In the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well-known, as dying, and behold, we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, watch this, yet always what? As poor, yet making rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. Now, this is what this portion of Scripture takes the thought from Philippians chapter 4:4 and drops it into this context and says, listen, I don't care what your story is. Watch this. I don't care what you're facing. You don't have an excuse not to rejoice. Not to rejoice. I had so many kind people come to us ask about the situation with Jackson, and we were able to sneak away for a few days, kind of unplanned. Originally, they were going to come here, and things changed, and we just felt, again, the Lord would want us to just go and take a few days. And as a preacher, you know, one of the things that your children understand as part of their life growing up is that there's a lot of times probably when you should have been there for them that you couldn't have been there for them. And sometimes, as a preacher, you just make up your mind there's times you're going to be there for them no matter what everybody else says. And so we just did it. And we took some time. But you say, preacher, oh my goodness sakes, how's Blaine and Amanda? They are sorrowful, yet rejoicing. And that's the report I can give you. They're sorrowful, yet. Now, that doesn't mean that there's not some times when you're going to have some tears on your face, but still you ought to have some praise on your lips. Are you getting that? What he's saying is this: a 2012 preacher, some of the things he put down in this portion of Scripture, is it possible that I could face some of those things? It's not only possible, it's probable. Life has burdens. I told our young adult class a minute ago, I said, folks, listen to me. If I had the power to remove every testing, trial, tribulation, and heartache that await you in 2012, I would not do it. Preacher, you're a cruel person. No, I understand. I've grown to the point where I understand that without those things, I think I don't need God much. And so, always rejoicing in the Lord. Now, let me encourage you to do this. All through the year. By the way, 2012. This is a crazy thought. This may be one of the most insane points, and I'm not even sure that it fits, but I'm just going to put it in here, all right? 2012 is leap year. Did you know that? That means instead of 265 days, we have 266. What's that? Instead of 365 days. Let's try to shorten it. Did I say 266? That sounded better. Amen. So, let's get this thing over with. Let's go to heaven. Amen. Leap year. Anyone here was born on February 29th? That'd be great. Now, in second grade, when I was in second grade, 1968 was a leap year. I can remember my second grade teacher pointing out a kid in my class and saying, this kid was born, and she did the whole explanation. He was born on February 29th. And so, he only got a birthday every 3 years or 4 years, about every 4 years. I remember thinking, well, that stinks. You know, as a second grader, you're kind of like, a birthday every 4 years? Now, I was kind of felt sorry for the kid when I was in second grade, but now I'm 50 and he's only 13. No, I calculated it out. It'll be like 2180 something before he's 50. He's got it made. Dude's going to be like Methuselah. You know, so, yeah, I felt sorry for him. Now I think he's got it right. Hey, preacher, why do every once in a while, every 45 years, they throw in an extra day? Well, I don't understand certain things. All right, like, for instance, February 28th, then they throw in an extra day, the 29th, right? Because I'm afraid of what I'm saying right now. I drove 12 hours later, so just shout out if I say something that's unscriptural here. But, yeah. Well, I'm thinking, well, who set these months up in the first place? You know, everything's like 30, 31, 30, 31, 30, 31. Well, why didn't you just give February 30 and then take a 31 and give it a... Why did you punish February down to 28 and every once in a while you throw them this little bone 29 and they still don't even get to be in the 30 or 31 club? I know. I got to think about stuff. So I decided I'd find out why they even do it. So here's the detail. Say, preacher, why do they just throw an extra day in there, you know, every four years or so? I'm going to read to you the explanation. Pay attention because you'll get it. Here it is. The vernal equinox is the time when the sun is directly above the Earth's equator, moving from the southern to the northern hemisphere. The mean time between two successive vernal equinoxes is called a tropical year, also known as a solar year, which is about 365.2422 days long. Using a calendar of 365 days every year would result in a loss of 0.2422 days, or almost 6 hours per year. After 100 years, this calendar would be more than 24 days ahead of the season or the tropical year, which is not desirable or accurate. It is desirable to align the calendar with the seasons and to make any difference as insignificant as possible. By adding a leap year approximately every fourth year, the difference between the calendar and the seasons can be reduced significantly, and the calendar will align with the seasons much more accurately. Now you know. You think that was confusing? Try reading it at 6 o'clock in the morning like I was. I only had about a half cup of coffee. I read it about four times, and I said, I still don't have the clue why they put the day in there. Well, what does this have to do with rejoicing? I want to read something to you. Watch this. Here's the thought I had. This crazy thought. Let me read the verse first. Verses. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I give thee, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. I said, you know what? We need to make at Blessed Hope Baptist Church 2012 a leap year. This is deep stuff, man. This is deep stuff here. You don't get this just anywhere, man. This ought to be a praising year. This ought to be an amen year. Well, preacher, we're going through a hard time. Well, praise the Lord anyway. He's still good. There's still a heaven. You're still saved. This whole thing's just a vapor. It's going to appear for a short time. It's going to be done. Don't worry about it. Let's praise God. Let's pray always. So let's just make it a leap year. You know, some of us need to go back and find that moment in time that man had in his life. Remember when you first got saved? You know what? When you got saved, you still had all the same problems you had except for eternity, except now you had God to deal with them. And you know what? You were the happiest person in the world, and it didn't really change the context of your life a whole lot, but you know what? You were happy in the Lord, and now we've been saved just long enough to get just far. Watch this. It happens to all of us. Just get far enough away from that experience where we get back down into this kind of sad, poor me, everything's bad. Let's make it a leap year. Let's make it a praise God year. Let's make it everything's all right in my Father's house here. Listen, folks, if you're going to tell me your problems, then tell me your praises.
Amen. Yes, sir. Come on.
Yeah, we need this. We're the grumbling bunch of people in the world, Americans. Americans, we're the grumbling, whiningest, complainest bunch of people in the world. We got to get on a plane. Some of you have been to the third world countries. Raise your hand and wave at me. You've been to a third world country. Come on now. Come on. You've seen it. Excuse me. What do we got to complain about again? What? Your air conditioner went on a blink a little bit this summer? Take you to third world country. They don't even know what an air conditioner is. Oh, you went to a restaurant and the waitress wasn't as nice as she ought to be and your food was a little overcooked? I shouldn't say this because I know some of you like the song, but... And I try to like it. I mean, I'm trying. Brother Tom likes it, I think. Watching an American congregation sing this. It will be worth it all in our $200 suit. When we see Jesus, three-year-old car out the parking lot, life's trials will seem so small. With our cupboards and our freezers full of meat, when we see Christ, I just want to. Something bad that's going on in our life, why don't we match it with 10 good things that's going on in our life? God's good to us. Good night, God's good to us. So let's have a leap year. Let's have a real leap year. A time of thanksgiving, a time of praising. And let's be busy just fostering that attitude in our hearts with the Lord. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the time we got to spend here. Help us to have a happy always year. There's other things we could have preached on, Lord. Always give thanks. We need to give thanks more. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Yes, Lord, may that be said of us. We look back at 2011, evaluate our service to God. May we rededicate, recommit ourselves to just abounding, always abounding in the work of the Lord, being busy about serving God. Lord, there's other things, of course, that you teach us, but I feel like you're done here. God, help us to have a great new year. I want us to have a happy new year, but I want us to have a happy always year. And Lord, may these things just continue in our life. May they go to a higher level in our life, Lord. I pray, dear God, that you'd help this church to honestly be called a house of prayer. May we pray without ceasing. May we always pray. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that through our prayer you would cause us not to faint. And then, Lord, these admonitions when it comes to praising you. And Lord, I pray, dear God, if there's somebody here this morning that's never received you as their Savior, Lord, we would ask, dear God, that you would use, please, the message today to make the Christian life seem so appealing to them that they would search their hearts and say, why the emptiness? Why no joy? And Lord, I pray, dear God, that they would, just having been around some Christians this morning, they would say, you know what? I don't know what it is they have, but I'd like to have it. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I didn't preach on salvation, but I want to just add a little bit in my invitation. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you're here without Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm going to tell you something. There is really no way to have a happy new year without Christ. There's just not. There's just not. And God never intended you to face this life by yourself. He sent His Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you were to die right now, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? Well, that's the question of the hour. Preacher, I don't know that for sure. Let me tell you the greatest way that you can kick off 2012. You can start on January 1st a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ by being saved today. I know what it is to walk into a church lost. I know what it is. I know what it is to look at Christian people and see the happiness and the peace. And yeah, even through heartaches and tears, victory. And think to myself, there's just something different about these folks. But it wasn't them folks. It was the God of them folks. It was a new heart. It's that they got saved. They were children of God. And so I would encourage, if you're here without Jesus as your Savior, that you would please receive Him today. Preacher, if I was to die right now, I'm not sure what would happen to me, but I'd like to know for sure how to be saved. We have men that stand here at the front with Bibles. They're ready to meet you. In a minute, just a minute, not yet, we're going to stand and we're going to let the piano player begin to play. If you're here and you're not sure that you're saved, if you just moved to the nearest aisle, come on up here. If you're a lady, we'll get a lady to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're a man or a young man, you'd like to be saved, we'll have a man show you from the Bible how to be saved. Dear God, what a great way to start the new year off, just once again sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ for these moments. Bless, Lord, our invitation time. Use this, Lord. Please, God, for our good and for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name.